Welcome back here to X's and Bros. Hour number two, officially underway here on the Michigan Sports Network, broadcasting from Traverse City to Toledo, all across the great state of Michigan. And good morning to our friends in Northwest Ohio as well. Anthony Bellino, Danica Halen, Ryan Elke, holding it down here, and Jake Woods in our Glass City studio. Good morning to all of you across the board, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening. We appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning from 6 to 9. All across the Michigan Sports Network. Text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000. You can call us, our Auto Valley guest line, 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527, on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros, and of course, good morning to our television audience as well on Comcast Channel 900. Find our podcast and anything you may have missed out on demand by visiting MichiganSportsNetwork.com or visiting SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and of course, the iHeartRadio app. You can find us individually on Twitter. I am at AC Bellino. Dan is at Dan in the studio, and Ryan is at Ryan L underscore Key. There is a lot to get to today on a Thursday. You know, there was a time in which we went months without knowing. We went months without games. We went months with filling every morning trying to figure out exactly what kind of sports topics would we be talking about, right? What would we be doing in the morning? How would we keep the sports fan engaged when there wasn't anything happening? Today is one of those days where it is a flood and I feel like we're going to miss something. And you know what? Those days happen, and this is a very, very good problem to have. That is for sure. There is, I would much rather have an overwhelming amount of information available to us than the opposite of where we're just kind of dilly-dallying around and it's like, well, we don't know if we're going to play. So I'm not a big list guy. I don't go into like top 10s or top 20s or anything like that, or, you know, but we had to get creative. You know, people had to do, you know, whatever they thought that they could do to be able to engage and try to get things fixed. And then we're bombarded today with all kinds of sports news and information on this Thursday, including the U.S. Open, which the guys just teed off. The first tee times were at 6:50. And Dan brought this up just now during the break. And I don't know about you, but where I'm at, it is pitch black. So are the guys who teed off at Wingfoot, are they wearing like Bob the Builder sort of like contraptions on their head with like lights or something? Do they have cars out there lighting up the fairways? Like, what? How exactly can they see anything?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Glow in the dark balls.
How much time have you spent like on the East Coast? Because it gets like, if you're on the coast in Maine, it's like midsummer. It's like completely light out by about 5:10 a.m.
Wow.
So this is in
Connecticut.
No, New York, Northern New York.
Upstate
New York. So I don't know how far east it is, but it is dark here. It can't be that much lighter there. I mean, it's, I don't know, 500 miles east of here. So I don't see how it could be, especially 15 minutes ago, how it could be light enough to play golf. But they're doing it.
They're trying. I mean, I would love to, and we can't get coverage on television, I don't believe, until 7:30 this morning is where the is when the tee off time is going to be.
Right, and the best part about the U.S. Open is that they have their own streams, so you can watch it on TV or you can like go on usopen.com and watch. They have a bunch. They'll have like, you know, this three-hole section of the course, this three-hole section of the course, featured groups, all kinds of stuff. I love watching the U.S. Open.
You know, my sister used to live in Connecticut, and now that I think about it, dude, I don't even know where she lived at. That's why I thought the Wingfoot was in Connecticut.
You never went to her house? How nice of you.
I mean, you pass judgment on your own time. All right? You could... What do you think?
Yeah, like, I guess I haven't gone down to see my brother and sister in a long time, so you're right.
There you go. And she wasn't out there a whole lot, but you know, she was in the I want to say she was somewhere near the Greenwich area, which where the is it Mamaroneck, New York is where Wingfoot is at. I just thought Wingfoot was in Connecticut, but it's not. You're right. It's in Mamaroneck, New York, which is kind of close to, because she used to play Wingfoot.
Really?
Yeah, that's the kind of dude she's got. Yeah, my sister, she's a
sleeper. She's got clout? Is she a clout chaser?
No, she's a clout goddess. I was going to say Clout God, but then that would you know. But Mamaroneck isn't that far from Yonkers, and from based on what I listened to over the course of my hip hop enthusiasm, Yonkers doesn't seem like the nicest place ever.
I have no idea.
Shout out to Styles P and Jadakiss and the rest of D-Block out there in Yonkers. Yonkers is where they make the hand dryers at. But anyways, yeah, she had clout, man. She used to go out there and have dinner over at Wingfoot. She's like, oh, yeah, we're playing Wingfoot today. I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, great. I don't think she played it when the rough was 7.5 feet long, though, when an Arnold Palmer can would just disappear. That's really, man. I don't want to go too far on the maps because then I get distracted looking at stuff. All right, so what else is happening across the world of sports? We got a ton of stuff to get to. So let's try to get you all cut up real quick right now in the headlines.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
And Dan, you got to know this, man. You know this. Ryan knows this. When you got multiple jobs, there ain't a whole lot of vacation time. And when
he's so salty, I called him out.
Well, here's the thing. I don't want people to think I'm a terrible sibling, even though I am. And I'll freely admit that. But I'm so, like, if I had an open weekend in March, do you think I'm flying to Connecticut in March?
Phoenix is much better that time of year.
Phoenix is better that time of year. The Dominican Republic is better that time of year. Colombia is better that time of year. You gonna go vacation in Connecticut?
Plus, your sister is back in the Midwest. At least
you don't summer in Connecticut, Anthony.
I'm sorry, I'm not traveling out to the Hamptons during the summer. Oh, she's texting me right now. She's blowing my stuff up. She's like, I got a natural birdie on 12. She's trying to. I don't even know what she just said. Mamaroneck. Echo?
That's the city.
The town she lived in?
No. I think she's trying to tell me where it's at in New York. She could just call and give us the correct pronunciation of the city. You know how New Yorkers are, right? They got all these crazy crazy terms for cities and whatnot. Mamaroneck. 600, is that how you spell it? 612 miles to Greenwich? Are you kidding me? Now my mom's texting me. You drove 612 miles to play golf? Dan, what's the equivalent of that? Like us driving to Bay Harbor?
Even 612 further. Miles. I don't know. I mean,
we might as well just go through the UP to Canada.
I drove to Pinehurst for golf.
Pinehurst is nice. All right. So that's all way off. You can catch a Mamaroneck or whatever they call it, New York. You can watch the U.S. Open on Television Golf Channel right now, 7:30. First guys are already underway. And, yeah, we've already got a double bogey out there. Shout out to Danny Ballin is a double bogey, so good for him. Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James set a record with 16th selection to the All-NBA team. Congratulations to the Lakers forward. He was fantastic. Alongside, he's one of five players with the presumed NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo, James Harden, Luka Doncic. James and his teammate Anthony Davis made up first team All-NBA. I still don't think we should do MVP awards until after the playoffs are over.
Jamal Murray for MVP. Anthony, yes. clean up your geography. I believe the 612 miles was from Monroe or Toledo to Greenwich, because from Greenwich to Wingfoot is 10 miles. It's 20 minutes away.
Okay, well, They're just.
I'm clearing up your family. I'm moderating your family discussion right now.
Thank you for moderating, because they're like 612 miles. I'm like, to play golf? Like, are you smoking crack? Like, what? I'm not driving out there. You kidding me? But no, I mean, now she says it's 10 minutes. Like, I don't know what's going on. You got hockey tonight. Lightning and Islanders will play. That is, game number 6. Tampa Bay leads the series 3-2. We'll also get some NBA shooty hoops as well as the Heat and Celtics game number 2 tips off at 7 o'clock on ESPN. The Big Ten is back. We're going to jump back into that conversation, plus the Tigers. They played last night. They were a loser 4-0. All that and more coming up here on X's and Bros, plus Logan Lamarandier on the Lions. Don't go anywhere. Keep it locked here to the Michigan Sports Network.
We have batteries, brakes, mufflers, and more. Your auto value, hard store, where service is the difference. We get it.
Save this month on all sizes of Anco contour wiper blades, just $10.99 each. And Gunk engine bright cleaner degreaser is only $4.99. Shop online at myautovaluestore.com and get 15% off orders of $75 or more with coupon code curbside15. That's Auto Value, where service is the difference. We get it!
Summer might be coming to an end, but the savings aren't. Here are just a few of the deals that you can find at your local Meijer. 6-ounce containers of fresh raspberries are only 4 for $5. And select hand sanitizers are buy one, get one 40% off. Plus, Meijer any way you want, with home delivery, pickup, and more. Get $15 off your first order of $50 or more on Meijer.com. Find all the things you love for all the people you love, all in one place. Exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
Bill Simonson here for the sports medicine team at Metro Health University of Michigan Health. Now, they serve the entire state, and they offer up some of the best sports physicians, physical therapists, access to some of the best surgeons, and also a training staff that covers every sport, high school, youth, college, and pro. You can go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. If you or a child of yours has suffered an injury, and you want to get back to playing or maybe going out for that nightly jog, they can help. Or maybe your child wants to return to that game they love to play. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. From youth to high school to college to semi-pro and pro sports, they are the leaders when it comes to dealing with sports injuries. Find out more. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. That's metrohealth.net.
Here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Anthony Bellino, Danica Halen, and Ryan Elke joining you. You can hop into the discussion at any time by giving us a call on the Auto Valley guest line, 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527, or text the keyword sports radio to 21000. That's sports radio to 21000. What did we learn during the break today? Mamaroneck. Correct. Incorrect. Mamaroneck.
That's correct, Anthony.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. My sister actually called in to give Dan the correct pronunciation, as Dan was unaware that she basically traveled around for years just playing the world's greatest golf courses.
Okay, but it's not like, you know, she wasn't on the Golf Channel or something. She had a job that she traveled and
just happened to play the nicest courses in the country.
Right.
And so here's the little backstory. So Dan follows my sister on Instagram.
Oh.
And hold on, I got to tell the story. And she is at the grocery store, the family grocery store that I work at, where I work as a butcher. So if you need a steak, I'll let your boy. Anywho,
what?
And he's about to,
I haven't
he's
gotten
about to,
one of you, Ryan.
He's about to slide into her DMs like, "Hey, I know the owner." And I was like, "That might have worked, but I don't. Have you ever met my parents? Because you ever met my mother? Because I don't own it. I'm just a regular ass employee."
I would have said, "Hey, I know the stock boy." That's what I would have said.
"Hey, I know that guy who carries out the groceries for all the cute old ladies." But yeah,
and the babushkas.
And the babushkas, exactly. And before they called grocery carts, and they were just buggies. That's how you know you can date yourself right there. I know Freddie knows what I'm talking about. You call it a grocery cart or a buggy. By the way, whether it's been Olympia Fields, Augusta, Pebble, Shinnecock, Wingfoot, my sister's played them all. That's what she does. She travels around, she helps your money make more money, and then she goes and plays golf. It's ridiculous.
Has she played, what is it? I think it's called Liberty National. The one that is
Liberty.
The one that's like in the shadow of the Statue of Liberty.
Ooh, that's a good question. Bethpage? I don't know if she played Bethpage, but it's been interesting.
We're going to need a rundown of the courses.
Oh, dude. I mean, how much time you got? That thing's going to fill up our whole spreadsheet here. I hate to be a pessimist, but I'm not overly excited about this Big Ten season. Why are they starting 5.5 weeks from now? It looks like they're still betting on other leagues having issues and canceling with an I told you so approach. I don't know who that one came from. We forgot to mention the Lions MVP Sunday, punter Jack Fox. 4 punts, an average of almost 50 yards, 2 inside the 20. I can't wait until Sunday to see him in action. Stephen Warren. Steve, you're absolutely correct. Fox did not get enough love on this program. I apologize. I want to send all the love to him after the, you know, hey, special teams got to be special. You have to. You got to be good in all three phases of the game. And field position, the ability for your punter to be able to flip the field when necessary. What I always wondered is how come if a field goal kicker, if the ball is held at the 45-yard line, he gets credit for a 55-yard field goal. But the punter, his yardage starts clicking from the line of scrimmage and not where he's actually kicking the ball from. So that's always something interesting. By the way, update your fantasy lineup if you have George Kittle. That's something you want to take and take a real close look at. Didn't practice again yesterday with the knee injury. So if you got him in fantasy, check that out. Back to that text about the wait and see, and I told you so. We have a postponement between Virginia and Virginia Tech. We got the postponement between BYU and Army, and a postponement between Houston and Memphis. So there are postponements. There are issues right now with COVID-19. Missouri's down 12 players after coronavirus testing. Had a dozen of those guys test positive, so it's not looking good. By the way, missed this in the headlines portion, but Michigan's Dylan McCaffrey is going to opt out and transfer. That is big news there. It seems as if he fell behind in the competition for the starting job with Joe Milton and Cade McNamara. McCaffrey, obviously, in there, got some playing time with the last 2 years. He'll have 2 years of eligibility. I wish him the best. If he's going to transfer away and make the most out of it, kid, because I hate to see guys get stuck on the roster. Freddie's on hold right now. Good morning, Freddie. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, AB. You know, I was debating on calling today. I really didn't have anything to talk about. Then I hear somebody call me an old man by bringing up the word buggy. And then you really got me frazzled. I mean, I got George Kittle on my fantasy team.
Yeah, be careful, Freddie. Be careful. Who's your backup?
Oh, I picked up Junior Smith and Hayden Hurst, so I got them both sitting on my bench. I got a couple good tight ends sitting on my bench because I had a feeling about him. He had such a big year last year that usually when you come off a big year, you tend to get hurt. So.
And the interesting thing about the tight end position, did you know that there were 5 tight ends who led their teams in receptions last year? Tight ends. George Kittle being one of them.
Were they first round draft picks? Do you know those 5 that you're talking about?
All 5 were drafted at number 8 or better in each of their respective drafts. How does that make you feel? That's a total lie, by the way.
You know, Anthony, you brought up Michigan and Dylan McCaffrey. I mean, listen, Jim Harbaugh, that was his number one quarterback recruit, the Mr. Quarterback Whisperer.
Oh, boy.
And he wasted that kid. He wasted him. All he did was, instead of develop Dylan McCaffrey 3 years ago, said, listen, we're going to suck. Let's just eat the year up. Let's go with the young kid. And we're going to suck anyways. He kept going to get transfers. And those transfers suck as well, too. So this poor kid, he sat here. And he's got pedigree, his brother, his dad. I watch his dad playing Super Bowls. And they waste that kid. I hope he goes on and he, just like the kid that went to Illinois, bites him in the you-know-what, and the Lions end up drafting this kid in 2 years. I like that kid. I've always liked that kid. There's something about him. And Harbaugh just could not figure it out what to do with him because he was so worried about jumping into a swimming pool. But anyways, what I called about is tonight, there's a really good football game on tonight. And
it's the battle for Ohio. You talk about the Bengals and Browns?
Yes. So, I you know, include Dan and Ryan on this. You know, you take your Lions today, and you take your Browns, and you take your Cincinnati Bengals. Which future would you rather have? You got Joe Mixon, Joe Burrow. You got Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb. I mean, that's better than what we have right now, isn't it?
Not only do you have Nick Chubb, but you also have Kareem Hunt. Now, they lost David Njoku. He's on the IR right now. But then you also have Jarvis Landry. You have Odell Beckham Jr. You got a lot of options there, but you got no quarterback in Baker Mayfield. We're starting to see that. The flash, the excitement over Baker being in Cleveland, that part has worn off. Now they need a quarterback who can actually throw the football down the field, and Baker is raising a lot of eyebrows there as he, you know, they looked absolutely awful against the Baltimore Ravens. Awful. That offense was garbage.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm kind of with you. I was always a Baker guy, and you know what my thing is with him is, I don't know if you guys know this, but he's got so many commercials. I mean, he's a commercial after commercial, and you just wonder, you know, is he really focused on football like a guy like, say, you know, Tom Brady that puts in the work, you know? The guy's got the talent, but you just wonder if it's gone to his head already.
The commercials don't bother me. What bothers me about Baker was the whole Cheesecake Factory thing. That whole story. You know about that story?
No, I don't.
But yeah, he had just gotten married, and allegedly he had a side piece, and they hooked up in the Cheesecake Factory parking lot in his SUV. Like, that kind of stuff, that's what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about him doing a commercial shoot at 2 in the afternoon for, you know, DirecTV or whomever. I'm worried about what he's doing on a Thursday night outside the, you know, behind a dumpster in a Cheesecake Factory parking lot. That's what I'm worried about. Freddie, we got to hit the break, but you're right. Bengals, right. Browns. I'm not taking the Bengals because I don't believe in Joe Mixon. Nice player. He punched a girl. I can't. You know I'm a man of high integrity. And it's okay if you call it a buggy, Freddie. My grandpa called it a buggy. It's a buggy. It is what it is. He hung up. That was a quick segment. Yeah, so there we go. All right, we're going to step aside when we return. Let's talk a little Lions football. Logan Lamer and Deer, he will join us. He covers the Lions for Sports Illustrated, and they're all Lions coverage. We'll get into the Honolulu Blue and Silver in the game against Green Bay. Coming up next here on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for the incredible Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. Now, they're located less than an hour north of GR and close to everybody listening across the huge radio network. And trust me, if you want the full resort experience and to play 36 holes of golf on two of the top public courses in Michigan, then book a fall stay-and-play package at Tullymore. Go to TullymoreGolf.com. That's TullymoreGolf.com. You'll get all the info on their fall stay-and-play packages, and trust me, it's worth a weekend or a couple of days with your clients or your employees or your family to hang out at the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. And also, as the weather changes, they have the Top Golf Swing Suite at the St. Ives Clubhouse. And like I said, 36 incredible holes of golf. So if you want great food, great service, and a great place to stay, book a fall stay-and-play package right now at TullymoreGolf.com.
As a healthcare professional, you care for your patients. But who will care for your practice? Who will keep it healthy? And who do you refer to if it takes a turn for the worse? Just as you may consult with another healthcare specialist, so too should you seek out tax and accounting specialists to consult with regarding specific issues your practice may face. That's where we come in. We're Bean Gardner. And while your business is keeping people physically healthy, our business is helping you keep your practice financially healthy. We'll provide you with the innovative business solutions your practice needs without compromising your patient focus. Whether you're a doctor or dentist, a sole practitioner, or a multi-physician practice, before you see patients, come see us first. Experience service, expertise, and simplicity at Bean Gardner. Find us online, beangardner.com. Bean Gardner.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Ryan Elke and Danny Cahalan in the studio. I'm Anthony Bellino coming to you from the bunker. Join us on the horn right now. He covers the Detroit Lions. You can find him on Twitter at L Lamer and Deer. This is our good buddy, Logan Lamer and Deer. Logan, my man, first and foremost, thanks for taking the time to join us today. How are you? How are things? And thank you once again for carving out some time for us to talk a little bit about our lovable Lions.
Well, for sure. I appreciate you having me. So we're talking a little bit. I don't think this is one of those losses that's going to be easily forgettable. So I'm getting through day by day.
Now, for those who don't follow, at L. Lammer and Deer on Twitter, covering the Detroit Lions for Sports Illustrated's coverage at All Lions. So if you are a Lions fan in the Honolulu Blue and Silver, he is absolutely worth the follow and find some useful information on his page. And Logan, I'm looking for anything useful out of last week. And I cannot figure out what in the world happened again. Three straight home openers, three straight just disastrous finishes in those home openers for Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions. And last Sunday was just brutal to watch. And it really is challenging for me to try to stay like sunny side up when thinking about this team, because it does feel like the old mantra of same old Lions.
Yeah, it's really tough because I try not to use the same old Lions mantra because it is a new team every year. But you know, after Sunday's debacle, it's one of those things where it's like yes, it's a new year and there are new players, but you can't get away from the fact that, you know, why does it only feel like the Lions do this? It's so uncommon to see have a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter and, you know, end up losing. Like, that's really difficult to do in the NFL. But, you know how I am. I always do try to find at least some bright spots or things to kind of, you know, say, hey, these went right. But there's not a ton in this game, but it's really difficult right now remaining positive at this point.
You know what it is? It is, man. I'm not gonna lie. And we look at Mitchell Trubisky with Trufant and Coleman in the game. His numbers weren't great. Those two get injured with hamstring injuries, which have hamstrung the Lions, pun intended. And then the next thing you know, Mitch Trubisky looks like the second coming of John Elway, and it's like, okay, well, is this a Mitch Trubisky getting comfortable thing, or is this the fact that, you know, two of the starting corners for the Detroit Lions are now out of the football game? What was your take on the improvement from Mitch Trubisky or the lack of depth there for the Detroit Lions? But, I mean, how can I even say lack of depth when no team can lose their starting two corners and be successful on the defensive side of the football?
Yeah, and I think that definitely played a big part in it. And I do think, you know, even Allen Robinson and Mitch Trubisky said that the Lions started doing a lot more man coverage towards the end of the game. And when you have, you know, Daryl Roberts, who actually played well, I'll give him credit. But then, you know, Tony McCray, who's mostly just a special teamer, he has been a special teamer his whole career, is put into an outside cornerback position, just playing man on man. And, you know, the Bears know they're going to do that. And he allowed two touchdowns. I think that's really a tough spot for anyone to be in. But yeah, the injuries definitely didn't help. And you have to give credit to Trubisky as well, because that go-ahead touchdown late in the fourth, that was a beautiful pass, and a pass that he hadn't really made all day. He was missing a lot of people early on. It looked like the Trubisky that, you know, the more usual Trubisky. But for him to make that pass, you know, he knew that it was just one-on-one on the outside against Miller, their wide receiver, who's a young up-and-coming receiver. And McCray had decent position, but the ball placement was just in a better spot, and you have to give credit to the quarterback on that. So there's a lot of different factors that go into it, but yeah, the injuries, you have to imagine if, you know, Trufant and or Coleman or even Okuda, who, you know, was didn't even get to play in week one because of another hamstring injury. But when those guys are back, you'd hope that all the passing yards that Trubisky racked up and those touchdowns he got in the fourth quarter wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, it was a brutal fourth quarter for Lions fans, and a fourth quarter that we're all too familiar with. When you watch Matthew Stafford, obviously a lot of people are going to point towards that interception there late in the game that led to the go-ahead touchdown by the Chicago Bears. But outside of that interception, what did you make of Matthew Stafford's first start back in over half of a season? I mean, people remember last year he was done at week eight. Like, that was it. And he hasn't played competitive football since. So no preseason this year, limited offseason, you know, as far as training camp is concerned. He comes out week one. What did you how did you evaluate and what did you make of his performance?
Yeah, he looked a little rusty. I think his decision making could have been better, especially on the interception. I understand where he was coming from. You know, it's one of those deals where Stafford is always trying to fit the ball in the tight windows, and it got him in trouble. And that's sometimes it works out great, and sometimes it doesn't. And looking at that interception, it was pretty well covered. It would have been a great throw and catch if it were to be completed. But then Danny Amendola, I thought, who was going to be a few yards short of the six on that third down interception, he was wide open. And I know Khalil Mack actually jammed Amendola at the line, and it made the timing off, but it was just, it's tough to see that interception at that stage in the game. And then even the sack that Stafford took when he could have probably thrown the ball away, that backed up the Lions deep in the zone and resulted in essentially having Matt Prater try to go for that 55-yard field goal. Those are the two big ones. But there was quite a few plays that he looked just a little off. It didn't seem like the same Stafford. And he still had 297 yards or something like that, almost 300 yards. But there were plenty of times I thought where he could have been better, and I'm not too concerned about it because we've seen what he can do. But you just hope that rust or whatever he was dealing with kind of goes away next week. And you have to imagine too, Quintez Cephas, who led the team in targets, a rookie, a guy he's probably not all too familiar with. There's a lot of things going on there, but. Yeah, Stafford overall for me, not one of his best games, and I think he'll get better. It's not a concern to me.
Logan Lambert-Deer joining us right now, covers the Lions for Sports Illustrated's coverage on all Lions, covering the Honolulu Blue and Silver. Logan, what did you make of Adrian Peterson's debut for Detroit? Because I'm telling you what, man, that guy got his first touch, and I was like, holy mackerel, like this is what a first ballot Hall of Fame caliber player looks like. I don't know what he does that is different than Kerryon, that is different than DeAndre Swift. I don't know if it's the patience. I don't know if it's the speed. I don't know if it's the quickness. I don't know if it's the vision. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just the fact that he's 35 years old and he's angry that nobody really wanted him. But whatever the case may be, Adrian Peterson really stood out, and you got to imagine he's going to be the number one back going into this weekend's game against the Packers at Lambeau.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be good because even the last 2 years in Washington, he's been still a really solid running back in the NFL. And then once Washington doesn't have a ton of running back depth and they cut him this year, I thought if we didn't get to see Adrian Peterson preseason games, so, a lot of times can catch up really quick with certain individuals or they just lose a step and they're next to useless all of a sudden from 1 year to the next. So I was a little concerned about that. I was like, well, what's Adrian Peterson are we going to get? And then in week one, it just looks like, Adrian Peterson we've seen the last few years where he's still, you can tell, he's going to be a Hall of Famer someday because he still has the vision. He had patience. He still has power. He still has some decent juice left. So overall, I was really happy because the Lions haven't, that was one of their best rushing games I've seen in quite a while. And you just look at what Peterson did. He had the most 10-plus rushing yards, carries, I should say. In the entire NFL, he had 5 rushes over 10 yards. And so he was getting pretty big chunk plays. And then I actually noticed, too, on NFL Next Gen stats, they had expected rushing yards. This is a new stat that they have. Basically, it's an algorithm or an equation that's way over my head, built by a bunch of scientists that basically lay out how many yards on each carry they expect a running back to get based off of, how many blockers they have and defensive players, the speed, a whole bunch of stuff. And he actually had the highest rushing yards over the expected average per attempt. So I thought that was really good that he's basically getting yards by himself. Not to say he didn't have blocking in front of him, but he was just finding holes and taking advantage of it when he had it. He still has power. So I was super impressed with him, and you just hope that being at age 35 that he can continue doing that, because I do think the Lions are going to need to rely on him at least for the early down role, splitting with Kerryon Johnson. But if you compare the two, Adrian Peterson definitely looks like the better of the two rushers.
Logan, what did you make of DeAndre Swift? I mean, he gets his first touchdown, the rookie's on the high of all highs, and then all of a sudden it's got the games on the line. He never dropped a single pass to Georgia, and all of a sudden, Matthew Stafford throws an absolutely perfect ball, and that sucker just bounced right through the wickets, man. What did you make of that, and what did you make of DeAndre Swift's first game as a Lion?
Oh, I just felt horrible for DeAndre Swift because, like you said, he didn't have a drop ball last year at Georgia. That was one of his strengths was coming in, was his pass catching. And then I believe he had two drops actually in his first NFL game. And it's just, you know, that the potential's there, and you know, he's going to be able to turn around. Like, he is a pass catching back. That's what he does. It's just, I just felt bad for the guy. And after the initial, like, oh no feeling, I'm like, oh, that's, hopefully that doesn't ruin his confidence or anything like that. But outside of that, you know, the major drop, and that's what everyone's going to remember him for now after week one, I thought he looked, you know, as advertised, where he was shifty. You know, he was difficult to cover, and he looked exactly like the player we drafted him to be. We didn't see a ton of rushing attempts out of him. The touchdown, which, you know, was a pretty decent hole, but he still ran through an arm tackle of a defender. So I'm still encouraged by what I saw from him. That drop, I just hope, doesn't define him, and that he can have some other game-winning play or something where he can kind of forget about that drop.
You know, Logan, should the late in that game with the 55-yard field goal attempt coming up from Matt Prater, should the Lions have tried to attempt that field goal with Prater, which obviously they missed, which turned into a shorter field for the Bears, which turned into a Bears touchdown, or should they potentially might have looked at punting that football? What did you make of that?
So, yeah, it's easy to say now that, hey, they should have punted because we knew they lost. But at the time when they were going for a 55-yard field goal, when you have Prater, maybe if you have a different kicker, it's obviously a different situation. But I would have kicked the field goal as well. And then looking back at it, you know, if he would have made that field goal and the Bears did go up and score that touchdown, the Lions would have only needed a field goal to get – they only need to get in the field goal range to win the game. So I do understand the aspect of why would you kick a field goal when it's, you're leading by 10, go up to 13. If they do make it, it's still a two-score game. But for me, just having Prater and how reliable he is, I would have done the same thing. So I can't really fault Matt Patricia on that. And I thought it was kind of a coin flip on what you want to do. But like I said, it's just easy now to go back and say, oh, they should have punted that for sure. But the way Mitch Trubisky was moving the ball, even if they would have punted, you know, who's to say that Trubisky wouldn't have scored anyway? Yeah, he would have gone, had to go, you know, an extra, you know, 25, 30 yards. But I believe they scored in like 60 seconds after that field goal. So it's not like they were having any issues moving the ball down the field. So I had no problem whatsoever kicking the field goal. It did cross my mind that maybe they should punt here, but I was like, nah, it's Prater. So, and I think that's the same way the Lions felt.
He's Logan Lamorandeer. You can find him on Twitter at LLamorandeer. And Logan, I saw you tweet about this a couple days ago, but is it true? Do you already have the feeling that this is a lost year for the Lions? I mean, we had a couple callers, some tweets, some texts coming in where, you know, people want heads to roll. They want everybody fired. You got people already talking about next year's NFL draft. Like, there's no way the season is over just after week one, right?
Well, I don't understand the whole firing mid-season type of thing unless you have someone in the wings that you want to give, you know, basically an interim role and see what they have. But the part I struggled with just internally was that it felt like it was the same team that we've seen the last 2 years under Patricia. And, you know, through the first three quarters, it looked different and it was super encouraging. And now, you know, you probably saw the stat in the broadcast, and you know, it's been mentioned everywhere that the Lions had the most fourth quarter blown leads, you know, since Patricia's come to the league, and he has more blown fourth quarter leads than he does wins at this point. So I don't know if enough has changed. I know there's been a lot of personnel change, but if the coaching is still going to be making the same decisions and using the same exact same philosophies that they used 2 seasons ago, that's where it's like, what's going to be different this year compared to last year when they only won 3 games? Yes, Stafford was hurt, but in only 6 games in the previous season, you know, with a team that I thought would be at least in the playoff hunt, I still think that can happen. But if this was the Chicago Bears, they weren't an NFC powerhouse. This was a game they really needed to win, and it's going to be tough to not have that win moving forward to really be in contention for anything. So I do think the Lions will play the Packers tough. They did last year, and the Lions, I don't know, will ever be out of the game. They just I don't know what it is. You know, I'd be a head coach if I knew the answer to why they keep having these collapses. But I don't want to say the season's over, but I don't have a good feeling at this point.
Logan, did you literally say that the Lions under Matt Patricia have more blown fourth quarter leads than they do total victories? Is that what I, did you just say that? Did I just hear that? Or am I like, that caught me so off guard just now. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, there's no way. Is that really true?
Yeah. Because since 2018, the Lions have 11 fourth quarter blown leads.
Oh,
and, you know, Matt Patricia has 9 wins. So,
oh, that's not good. Hey, they got the Green Bay Packers on deck this weekend at Lambeau, 1 o'clock kickoff. Very, very concerning considering the way that Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams dominated week one against Minnesota. I didn't think the Minnesota Vikings defense would be as good this year as they have been in years past. They'll take a step back without Stephon Diggs on offense, but I figured there'd be a formidable fight there. And Aaron Rodgers, they didn't give him anybody in the draft. Then he comes out and he absolutely torched them. How terrified are you of Green Bay this weekend?
Yeah, they look really good in week one, and especially I think maybe Rodgers has a little chip on his shoulder right now to prove everyone that he's still Aaron Rodgers of old. And like I mentioned earlier, though, the Lions played Aaron Rodgers real tough both games last year, and the Packers weren't leading a single second in either game, and they ended up winning both games. So I'm very concerned because I think the Minnesota. Like you said, I don't think the Minnesota Vikings defense is as good. You know, you look at the cornerbacks they're working with. They got a lot of young guys and new starters and new faces in there. But, you know, the Green Bay Packers did a great job against that defensive line of Minnesota. So it's one of those things where I could see the Lions playing it close. And if the Packers catch fire, you know, that might be tough to keep up with them. But I do think the Lions offense, even against Green Bay's defense, which is pretty good. I wouldn't say it's as good as the Bears' defense at this point, but I do think the Lions can keep it close. It's likely to be an offensive shootout, so.
He is Logan Lamoriere. Find him on Twitter at LLamoriere and find his work at SportsIllustrated.com covering the Honolulu Blue and Silver. Logan, my friend, thank you so much for your time today. We greatly appreciate it and try to enjoy this weekend's game against the Packers as best you can, my friend.
Oh, I will. I'll do my best. I appreciate it, Anthony.
Love me some Logan Lamoriere, and big thanks to him for joining us. We've got Jay Layman coming up on the Big Ten announcement that they're going to pick back up, and we're going to be playing in about 5 weeks or so, plus Lee Sterling on the other side with Paramount Sports. Lee Sterling, we're getting into it. Games of the week. We're going pick for pick at Paramount Sports. You can call 1-800-497-41 in Win Big today. That's coming up next year on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. No computer can match its intellect. No work of art can rival its beauty. And there is nothing on earth more personal than your brain. It defines who you are. It determines how you love and what others love in you. Your brain is unlike anything we have ever known or will ever see. And in a moment, all of that can change forever. Traumatic brain injury, TBI, can happen anywhere, at any time, to anyone. TBI can define who you are. TBI can determine how you will love. There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. And for victims and families of TBI, there is nowhere on earth like the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Do you think you're better than me at picking pro football games? Would you like to win $1,000 in cash from Tom Rosenbach and his team at Bean Garter? Well, make sure you play Beat Huge every week for free at thehugeshow.net. The Thursday night game is always a freebie. You have until Sunday at noon to play every week for free at thehugeshow.net. The more weeks you beat me, the more chances you'll have to win that $1,000 from Tom Rosenbach and Bean Garter. Play every week for free at thehugeshow.net. Huge here for the incredible Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. Now, they're located less than an hour north of GR and close to everybody listening across the Huge Radio Network. And trust me, if you want the full resort experience, and to play 36 holes of golf on two of the top public courses in Michigan, then book a fall stay-and-play package at Tullymore. Go to TullymoreGolf.com. That's TullymoreGolf.com. You'll get all the info on their fall stay-and-play packages, and trust me, it's worth a weekend or a couple of days with your clients or your employees or your family to hang out at the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. And also, as the weather changes, they have the top golf swing suite at the St. Ives Clubhouse. And like I said, 36 incredible holes of golf. So if you want great food, great service, and a great place to stay, book a fall stay-and-play package right now at TullymoreGolf.com.
It's a new day to celebrate and be free. A new day full of action and excitement. Come to Soaring Eagle. Indulge to your heart's content. It's a day for winning, for world-class fun and food. Yes, it's a grand, spectacular day to get away. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com.